No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host, Kathleen Gomez, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the discussion and call us at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Or Skype us at BBS Radio 2. Before we get started, let me introduce my co-host, Kathleen Gomez, who is here in the studio, right here, rather than back in Arizona, where she goes tomorrow. Yay!
Hey,
hi, Kathleen.
Hello, Senator Brown. It's very strange being in the same room with you. I have this, you know, innate feeling that I want to get up and just slap you up the side of the head, but I'm refraining myself.
You're not the first woman to say that.
I can believe that. I can believe that. Your wife is a saint. Let me just put that in there. Absolutely a saint. What can I say? But I've had a great time out here in Washington. It's kind of been nice, you know, to reconnect with old friends and see all the things. You know, it's funny. Things are different, but they still remain the same. So it was great going by AU, seeing the new building for the School of International Service that I got a degree in. And just seeing all the changes. Washington is definitely a changing place and hopping. And I just want to thank Bobby and Joanne for putting me up for a couple of nights so I could give the senator a break.
I'd like to thank Bobby and Joanne for giving me a break. And there is something new at School of International Studies. Thomas Jefferson is no longer a student, like when you were there.
I tell you, I swear. It's been so enjoyable being here with the senator. You know, I'm actually, you know, enjoying this. You know, it's kind of interesting seeing you in person versus just talking to you on the phone. It puts everything in perspective. But I do want to give a shout out to Joanne and Bobby. I know that they're Republicans and Joanne does not listen to the internet radio, but I'm hoping that she will now and that we've converted them to at least becoming listeners. And I want to thank Michael, the senator, and his wife for putting up with me. But it's been very enjoyable. And, of course, it's like in the 70s back in Arizona. And what is it going to be, the coldest temperature tomorrow, like in 20 years?
Yeah.
So there are some things to be said about the nice weather in Arizona. But I do miss D.C. I was here for the nice snowfall. And it's been a great time. And I've enjoyed it very much.
Well, we've been glad to have you.
Don't lie now, just because you're on the internet radio, so no lying allowed.
Okay. My wife's been glad to have you, and I've tolerated you because much like Mahatma Gandhi, I'm a man of infinite peace and restraint.
I joined some friends earlier today and had some couple of glasses of wine, so it is kind of amusing to listen to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I encourage other people that listen to the show to drink.
Have a couple of glasses of red wine and listen to us, and you'll enjoy us.
I sound a lot smarter after a couple of glasses of red wine. Everybody has said that to me. Well, since this is the first show of the year, we're going to talk about what we're going to do this year. It's hard for us to believe, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, Kathleen,
which I always will.
Yeah, I know. I've been on We've been on since April.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a long time already. And we really came up with the idea for the show because we wanted to reach out to America and try to start a dialogue because we think our gut tells us that we have more in common than we realize, and that there's a middle ground that we can reach on many of these issues if we're just willing to talk to each other. And I think we're sick of seeing the gridlock here in Washington, which has dissipated a little bit since April, maybe because of us, huh, Kathleen? they're getting along a little better, but not much. So we still have a long way to go, and we really hope that you will get involved more in the show this year, that more people will call in, that we really will be able to have more discussions. We think that we've done some interesting things with border security and immigration. We tried to have people from every political persuasion. We had a lovely woman from California, Republican, who was on the show, and people from the Libertarian Party and from the Green Party. And so
and the Constitution Party, which I really like that guy.
And the Constitution Party, right, which I really like the guy too. And I got to tell you that he was the vice presidential candidate and may actually be their presidential candidate next year. I've heard rumors to that effect anyway. And I never even knew they existed. I've been in politics, you know, almost 40 years, and maybe I've heard the name before, I don't know, but it really was interesting to me to find out about the Constitution Party, and again to find out that they have so much in common with libertarians. And we're going to see some interesting developments along those lines this year, I believe, when we get to issues like legalization of marijuana. I think, you know, that you have libertarians that are probably on the side of legalization. I think you probably also have some Green Party people that are on that side, and certainly some liberal Democrats. So we'll see if maybe that issue brings people like Rand Paul and I don't know who's somebody on the left or in the Democratic Party that are before it. We'll see if it brings those people together. It'll be interesting.
Well, it was interesting that, you know, when you talk about the legalization, since it is now legal in Colorado, correct?
And Washington.
And Washington. And we were watching, remember, on the internet when they were doing the hoax of all the people that had to go to the hospital for ODing on smoking marijuana. But it was interesting because then we were seeing the taxes that were raised through the purchasing of marijuana for the first time and the different aspects of the law, but it is definitely a moneymaker.
It's a moneymaker. And, you know, we in a capitalist society, money rules. So we'll see what happens. But we're going to try a little different format in the coming year. We're going to try to tweak things a little bit, and that's tweak, not twerk. Okay.
Which Michael just learned to do the other day.
I have two daughters. I have two daughters who are dancers, and they have both made me sign an agreement that I will never twerk in public.
Which is absolutely the best way to go. You should stay to that contract.
Which is fine with me because I think I hurt something while I was doing it. And I just hope they don't kick me out of the Miley Cyrus fan club for this. But anyway, we're going to tweak things a little bit and try to get a show that better fits what you folks want to listen to. And we want to try to draw you into the discussion, like I said. That's very important to us because we really want to start a dialogue. So one thing we're going to do is we're going to set up a regular format for the show, and this is going to develop over time, but the first week of every month we're going to talk about statehood. So let's start there. If you listen to our show on a regular basis, you understand that DC statehood is a major issue for us. The people in the District of Columbia do not have the same rights that every other American has. It's ridiculous. We pay the highest taxes in America. We serve at higher than the national average. But unfortunately, we don't have the same rights as every other American. I would love to hear from you out there if you think for some reason this is appropriate. Call and let us know, or Skype us at BBS Radio 2 or call us at 888-429-5471. But I don't think there are many people in America that don't agree that the district residents of the District of Columbia should be treated like every other American citizen. We now have a population of 643,000. That's larger than Vermont. It's larger than Wyoming. I was elected with 207,000 votes. That's more votes than six other United States senators who do have a vote got. So if you believe, as Thomas Jefferson did, that legitimate power of government comes from the consent of the governed, then I've been consented to a lot, and they ought to give me a vote. But before we go any further into that, we talked about it last week, so I don't think we need to discuss it in detail this week, but I would like to start out the year by recognizing the people who stand behind us. And on Capitol Hill, that's 64 members of Congress, of the House of Representatives, who have co-sponsored our legislation, H.R. 292, the New Columbia Admission Act, which would make the district the 51st state and would make the people of the District of Columbia equal. And just to point out, the reason we want to become a state is because that comes with automatic equality. You enter the union on equal footing with all other states when you become a state. So let me read to you the names of the 64 members really quickly so we can give them a shout out and say thank you. There's Karen Bass of California, Joyce Beatty of Ohio, Sanford Bishop of Georgia, Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, Madeline Bordalo of Guam, Corinne Brown of Florida, J.K. Butterfield, North Carolina, Andre Carson, Indiana, Donna Christensen, the Virgin Islands, Judy Chu, California, Yvette Clark, New York, William Lacey Clay, Missouri, Emmanuel Cleaver, Missouri, James Clyburn, South Carolina, Steve Cohen, Tennessee, Gerald Connolly, Virginia, our neighbor, John Conyers in Michigan, Danny Davis in Illinois, Theodore Beach of Florida, Donna Edwards, another neighbor from Maryland, Keith Ellison of Minnesota, Ina Falama Vega of American Samoa, Sam Farr, California, Chakafata, Pennsylvania, Marcia Fudge, Ohio, Raul Grovalia, Arizona. I probably brutalized this.
Yeah, you did. That's all right. Go on.
How do you say it? Say it for me, Kathleen.
Nah, go on. You're doing a good job. Stay
Luis, Luis Gutierrez, Illinois. Alcee Hastings, Florida. Ruben Hinojosa, Texas. Michael Honda, California. Jared Huffman, California. Hakeem Jeffries, New York. Hank Johnson, Georgia. Hank was born and raised in Washington, D.C. Robin Kelly, Illinois. Barbara Lee, who we love, California. Sander Levin, Michigan. John Lewis, the great civil rights leader, Georgia. Carolyn Maloney, James McGovern, Gregory Meeks, Gregory Meeks, North Carolina, New York. Ugh, too many names. George Miller, California. Gwen Moore, Wisconsin. Gerald Nadler, New York, a longtime supporter. Grace Napolitano, California. Ed Pastor, Arizona. A lot of people from Arizona.
Yeah. Hey, we're not so backwards after all.
Pedro Peralusa, Puerto Rico, an old friend. Jared Polis, Colorado. Charles Rangel, New York. Cedric Richmond, Louisiana. Bobby Rush, Illinois. Tim Ryan, Ohio. Janice Schakowsky, Illinois. Robert Bobby Scott, Virginia. Jose Serrano, another old friend of the district, New York. Terry Sewell, Alabama. Luis McIntosh Slaughter, New York. Benny Thompson, Mississippi. Paul Tonko, New York. Juan Vargas, California. Mark Vizi, Texas. Timothy Walsh, Minnesota. Maxine Waters, another old friend of the district, California. And Frederica Wilson, Florida. These are the 64 brave American legislators who have stood up in the House of Representatives and supported our right to be equal American citizens. Now, more importantly, as far as I'm concerned, because these are my maybe someday colleagues in the Senate who have supported companion legislation, Senate Bill 132. Senator Boxer of California, Senator Cardin of Maryland, Senator Coons of Delaware, Senator Cowan of Massachusetts, but he's no longer a member of the Senate. He was replaced by Ed Markey. He was an appointed senator. Richard Durbin, Senator Durbin from Illinois, Senator Kristen Gillibrand of New York, Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, Senator Barbara McCluskey of Maryland, Senator Patty Murray of Washington, where my son Nicholas goes to college. Senate Leader Harry Reid of Nevada, and Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Thank you to these 11 brave senators who have stood up for us. We hope we can get 30 or 40 more this year. So those are the people that are supporting statehood on Capitol Hill for the district, and we hope you'll support statehood for the District of Columbia by going to www.statehoodnow.org and signing our petition to President Obama to help make the District of Columbia a state.
Ooh, that was the longest you talked in a while.
I know, because I can't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, right. It was boring too, so I'm glad I'm in on this show.
That's why I wrote it down. I said she'll never let me say all this unless I get it. I get on a roll, and she can't stop me.
Exactly.
Okay. So this is the longest you've been quiet. What do you want to say?
I want to say that I think the thing that I think needs to be done in statehood, and I think everybody who lives in D.C. needs to call their councilman and ask them where the heck they are on statehood, because there is one thing that should be prominent in your council's issues or for their goals in 2014 is to make sure that they're all on board on the statehood bill, and that whenever they go or wherever they go, the statehood is the number one thing that comes out of their mouth.
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, there's not only do they need to do that, but there's a bill in front of the city council right now to fund our delegation. And
yes.
People need to sign on to that bill. We have six co-signers at this point, which is enough to pass the bill. Really, we need seven, but we have a couple of people we know who will sign on if we can get the bill moved. So people need to call councilman, if you're listening out there and you're a constituent, call Councilman Phil Mendelson. He's the chairman of the council, and say, hey, Mr. Chairman, move the Statehood Advocacy Act of 2013. His number is 202-724-8032. 202-724-8032, and you can tell him to move the Statehood Advocacy Act, and that way I'll get a little money to work with And I won't have to sit here and talk to Kathleen all the time. I can actually go out and get some work done.
He can actually look. Hey, I critique you on all the things you should be doing. And you know that I'm very good at critiquing you. So right off the bat, you're only getting the best, you know, information of what you should be doing. And I have to commend you, and I think for Patty's sake, your wife, that you guys, nobody is going to listen to anything that's not funded. I mean, you know how the world works. If you're not funded, then you're not perceived as being a real issue or something to contend with. And so for that alone, they should be funding you guys to be going up there to be able to lobby these guys. And I'm not talking funding where you're taking on trips. I'm just the research to be able to show these legislators that it's something that needs to be done. Whatever, you need money to be able to lobby for your issue. Heck, everyone else has a lobbyist. Everyone else pays for their issues to be heard. And this is something I just don't get. I mean, they should be funding you guys to go up there to get statehood for DC so that you guys can have a say on your own future and your budget and whatever else it is, because we've talked many times about how these legislatures play with your future, whether it be the issue of birth control for women or funding and all that stuff. I mean, I don't think people understand when the government shuts down, the national government, so does DC government, because it's part of the funding stream with the capital. And so you guys need to be able to have a say in your future and where you're going. And that's only going to happen if you're perceived as something real and it's funding to be able to do the job that you need, even if it's to freaking get business cards so you can leave the cards with them, or to give them an issue statement or whatever it is. You know, I mean, there's all these things you need to be able to promote your cause. And it's just beyond me that these guys don't do that. So everyone out there who's listening that lives in DC, you really need to get up off your butt. And I know, you know, DC news is kind of like overshadowed by international news because DC is an international city. But I bet you anywhere else in the world, they wouldn't put up for this. They wouldn't put up with not having a vote or having a say on how their money is spent, especially when you're looking at the real estate around here. We're talking huge amounts of money that you guys pay. I mean, rent or where you buy a house or the taxes you pay, property taxes, it's very high. And you have taxation without representation, which is completely against, you know, what this country was built on. So you guys in D.C., get up off your butt. I don't know what it is you're doing that you don't think this is important to you, but it should be.
Well, you know, first of all, you're absolutely right about that. And it's funny that you should mention my wife, Patty, because as soon as I stopped funding her, she stopped listening to me.
So, exactly.
You know, with a good reason. You're absolutely right. You know, she got a job as like Senator who? You think you're Senator who? No, get out of here. So, yeah, we need funding. All kidding aside, you're absolutely right. We really can't get this done. We've been asked to change the way America has done business for the past 213 years, and we've been asked to do it without money, and that's just ridiculous. Yes. Statehood has never been achieved without a significant investment of sweat equity and funding. So we hope the new year will get us some money to work with, and then we'll get this done. I know we can get this done. The American people, 80% of them, believe that we should have the same rights that they do, but they don't know that we don't. So we need to get the word out, and we need to motivate people locally. And you're right, we need to get people up on the Hill who are working, professional people that can help us monitor and push Congress in the right direction. And hopefully we'll get that done.
Right.
One of the things we talked about doing is to start a few segments, regular segments on the show. And we're going to go into this a little bit after the break. But the first one that I want to talk about before we go to the break is we've decided that we would pick our best and worst political event of the week.
Yes.
And talk about them every week so that we could stay relevant. For me, the best thing that I read in the paper over the break, you know, Congress was shut down for the holidays. They come back tomorrow. But they are considering a bill called the Universal Child Abduction Prevention Act. I'm sorry. The Senate is considering this act. And I think that was the best news of the week, because we know people that have had their children taken in the course of a personal dispute or a divorce, and the mother goes out of the country, goes back to her country of origin, and the father or the mother is stuck here without access to their children. So this bill, which is long overdue, would bring countries together to work on this problem. And actually, we're working on a case right now for a man who's had exactly this thing happen to him. He's gone through the court system. He's been awarded custody. His wife, his ex-wife, has been held in contempt, but she's in a foreign country and he doesn't have access to the child. And there's no way to get her back to the United States to enforce the ruling of the court. So hopefully this legislation will help him and many others. That was the best story of the week. The worst story of the week that I heard, and I don't know, this isn't really politics, but it was so distressing to me that I think we got to talk about it, Kathleen.
Yes, it was. It was.
An African-American man who volunteered to play Santa Claus, really nice guy from the District of Columbia. Maybe we can get him to come on the show and talk about this. But he went to a public housing project called Berry Farms to give gifts to children on Christmas Day. And he was shot.
With a pellet gun in the back.
In the back.
With a pellet gun.
Somebody shot Santa.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if that was a disgruntled kid. Maybe he didn't like his gift, or I don't know what it was. But anyone to be shot in the back. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, if anyone's got a history on, you know, having a gun, you don't shoot people in the frickin' back. You just don't do it. You don't shoot. You shouldn't shoot people anyway. I mean, that's why I'm against guns in frickin' the urban cities, because nobody has any common sense. And I just thought it was awful. I mean, the guy, we saw the video, and he's in pain, right, and he had to go to the hospital. And I mean, yep, who freaking does that? Who freaking does that? And that's the other problem I have, I think, that we've always talked about in 2013 was, you know, where are we as a society? And I mean, we're not the only ones to discuss it, but we got to wake up and get back to what's right and what's wrong. And this, whoever did that should just be taken out, and maybe we need a capital punishment. I don't know. But, you know, that is just so offensive. And it was so offensive when you're thinking of this guy bringing these gifts to kids that don't get anything and to be shot in the back. You know, I mean, that's a coward, a coward's way of doing things. And we should just bring him out in the middle of the square and, I don't know, maybe hang him from his toes.
Well, I'm not for medieval torture. Of course, Kathleen lives in Arizona.
Just call me Juanita Oakley.
Juanita Oakley lives in Arizona, where they obviously still hang people by their toes.
Exactly. It's called an eye for an eye.
I'd like to check into that and see if that's actually true. If there's anybody out there that can check and see if, like, the people of Arizona wear really big shoes or something because of that, please call and let us know. But it really does say something about our society when somebody's reaching out to poor kids and, you know, some jerk's got a pellet gun, has got to do something like that. It was just a terrible thing to watch. So that's a new all-time low. It makes the people of the District of Columbia look terrible and ridiculous, and we're not. We're right, really good, loyal American citizens who really do help each other a lot. Sometimes there's complaints that the government doesn't do enough for the poor of the people of the District of Columbia, and I think that's true. I think there's a real divide between east of the river, Anacostia River, and west of the Anacostia River. But the people of the District of Columbia are particularly generous and kick in all the time. I worked at a soup kitchen for 10 years with my kids through their school, and there are lots of programs in Washington where people reach out to one another. So that was just terrible. Well, we're going to take a little break right now and come back. And it's going to be a short break, but we wanted to play a song because one of the worst pieces of news this week was that Phil Everly died, the younger of the Everly brothers. We all grew up with him and his music.
Music before Elvis.
Music before Elvis. These are people, if you're young and don't know, that inspired Elvis, that yes. inspired the Beach Boys, that inspired the Beatles. Yeah, they did. All of them have recognized the Everly brothers and their wonderful harmonies and their popularity as being a benchmark that they used and a style that they imitated. So I'd like to send this song out from my sister, Patricia, who was one of the most wonderful people I ever knew, who taught me how to hand dance in the basement of 114 Montclair Avenue, Newark, New Jersey, to Phil and Don Everly. We'll be back in a minute. And we're back. And I understand we have Eddie from Ohio on the line. Eddie, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. Well, thanks for calling in. Where are you from in Ohio, Eddie?
Oh, it's a little town near Steubenville, Ohio, not far from maybe 70 miles from Pittsburgh. You know, I'm
cool.
just in a little town here. And, I didn't know what the subject was tonight for the conversation, so I wanted to be sure I was appropriate. I just discovered you on the internet here a couple minutes ago.
Well, it's our first show of the year, so any subject is appropriate. We want to talk to you about whatever's on your mind. And my brother is the president of a college in Zanesville, Ohio, so I know you're part of the country a little bit. So what's on your mind, Eddie? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I wondered if you knew anything about M.T. Keshi, this Iranian physicist, claims he has all kinds of clean new energy paradigms for the world, and he's been out for some years now, and a lot of people are skeptical, and some people feel he's really got something, but I didn't know if any of your listeners knew anything about it or you were familiar.
You know, but I'm not familiar, but we'll try to take a look at some stuff, and maybe next week or the week after that, we will be more familiar.
And you know, it's interesting because we were going to be discussing fracking, which you know is very controversial and is a big deal to a lot of places because you know, like in North Dakota, is bringing a lot of money to that area where you know has its pros and cons. But you know, clean energy is something that's always something we should be looking into. So I had not heard about this gentleman, but we will look into him and see what he has to offer because that's anything that can that's new and progressive. We want to talk about it because I think a lot of people don't know about these things. Where is he from again?
He's from Iran, but he's based in Belgium. But the latest word was he might be moving outside of Belgium and another part of the world. He's not sure. But, you know, I have quite a few friends I know personally that have some amazing inventions. As far as fracking, I have a friend. He claims, well, if you're committed to oil, you can get oil out of the ground without using 100 chemicals. You can use ozone. And he lives out in Yucca Valley in California. But he says there is a patented way to get oil out of the ground without any chemicals. And they use ozone, which is a form of oxygen. And actually quite familiar with that subject with other applications that does amazing things with health, ozone, and different kinds of oxygen. So So part of what I do, see, I'm retired, and I do a lot of research on all kinds of alternative science and interesting issues. You know, since I get a little check, I'm able to just talk to people all over the country. But I have people call me from Ecuador and Panama now, and it's just really interesting. I live in a little town that once I just kind of got known, then I have quite a circle of friends. But I think I could provide you with some interesting guests. Certainly.
Oh, well, that would be great.
Well, yeah. Please do. And, you can submit their names to BBS Radio, and we'll review them. And we'd love to have people on because this is such an important issue. First of all, not to dwell on the fracking thing, but there's going to be a lot of fracking going on in your area of of Ohio,
certainly.
As you know. They're gearing up. It may be the next North Dakota. So it's going to be an important issue for you. But clean energy, absolutely. Yeah. I have to tell you the most amazing thing that I saw over the holidays when I was out Christmas shopping with my children was at the mall. They had a Tesla. And I don't know if you know anything about the Tesla. I only knew about it in passing.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's an all-electric car, zero emissions, and it does 130 miles an hour, top end. So,
it has a
250-mile-an-hour range.
Yeah, it's a little pricey.
Yes.
Believe it or not,
the problem
there's things that are keeping, yeah.
Yeah, the problem is it's $170,000 right now. So,
I was just going to say, it's a great concept, but you know that price tag is just way over the top.
And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the oil industry and the manufacturers. They don't want change. They don't want to have to change their model of doing things. And,
well, vested
it's unfortunate.
The biggest challenge is the vested interest that they know a lot of these great secrets and better ways to do things, but they have a lot of reasons why they want things to stay the same, many reasons.
Exactly.
And
what is your name again?
It's about money. It's about,
Eddie.
Yeah, my name's Eddie. Yeah.
Okay.
I hope you
will definitely, you know, send those names and some suggestions. And we really want to kind of talk about things that are, you know, different than the national media would talk about. Things that people may not hear about. It sounds like you have a really good input into some areas that none of us know about.
On those subjects. I have quite a library. Just to whet your appetite, I have a friend, he's a retired PhD in electrical engineering, and he designed and supervised the installation of the entire Sprint complex in Kansas City.
Wow. I'd love to talk to him.
So
we'd love to have him. Put his name in. And this leads me...
Yeah, I will. I will. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've given me a great segue here, Eddie, because one thing that we want to change on our show this year is we want people to call in with guests, which you've mentioned doing, and also call in and be guests and interview us or have us interview you. So if you want to do that, you can also contact BBS, and we'll have you on. Usually we interview a guest, Eddie, in our first half hour. We haven't had a guest the last couple of weeks because we've been revamping the show a little bit. But we'd love to have you as a guest right into BBS Radio, BBS.com. I'm sorry, BBSRadio.com. And we'll hook you up. We'll get you on the show. We'd love to have you on the show.
Because I think I was just going to say that I think that you have anything that you could bring to the table about what's going on in the rest of America that is promoting clean energy or different ways of thinking, you know, thinking kind of outside the box, we're really, really interested. And I think the people who would be listening to our show would be interested into hearing, you know, what else is going on because, you know, it's very controlled coming out of Washington, D.C. and the national media. I'm really excited about what you have to say.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And then the name of your show once more, I'm so sorry. You did tell me.
Shadow Politics. And it's called Shadow Politics for two reasons, Eddie, because I don't have a vote. I'm an elected United States senator. But I don't have a vote in Washington, D.C., and so they often call me the shadow senator. And also because, as Kathleen said, we want to get issues out there that aren't in the mainstream media necessarily. Mm-hmm. And we want to give people an opportunity to talk that don't get to talk, because we think we have a lot in common in America. So we appreciate you calling in.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And your name again was Senator?
Michael Brown.
Michael Brown. And so you're from Ohio, huh?
No, my brother lives in Ohio.
Oh, your brother.
Yes, and I'm originally from New Jersey, but I live in Washington, D.C. I'm elected by the people of Washington, D.C., got 207,000 votes in the last election, but I'm not allowed to serve in Congress because Washington doesn't have a vote in Congress.
Because it's not a state. And that's kind of how we started. And then our show kind of derived from the whole concept of, you know, talking to people outside of the Beltway and seeing how policies really affect their lives, or even if they do what they're supposed to accomplish. And we found that we had a lot of, I'd been in D.C., but we have a lot of differences. So that's what the show's about, is getting people talking, you know, bringing new ideas, or just finding the common ground that we all have as Americans.
What do you think about sovereign law, common law, sovereignty, all that? I don't know if you're familiar with that concept.
Well, it's a complex issue. I'm familiar with it in the context of Native Americans. I train Native Americans through a group out of Oklahoma to run for public office. And, of course, sovereignty is a big issue to Native Americans. They're fighting now in places like Minnesota to keep control over the revenue they get from gambling, for example, because they consider themselves sovereign. And there is a national, they do have sovereignty, but the governor of Minnesota wants to take their money. So I think we could do a whole program on that one time if you want to, Eddie. Sovereignty is an important issue. But you know what?
I have a lot of things I'll have to share with you over time. A lot of things. I don't know. It's serendipitous. I just found you. I don't know how these things work, but I trust my intuition sometimes. But I think this is going to be the beginning of some really great shows. I think you'd be pleased.
Well, that's great. We look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. Well, thank you both, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'll talk soon.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we go.
There we go.
And that's a sign of 2014, you know, because I think that there's a lot going on in America that people just don't hear about. You know, ideas, inventions, things, people, creative thinking outside of the normal box, you know. And so if we could actually be a platform for people like that, I think it would be a great thing.
Yes, and I could stop being your whipping boy. That would be nice.
You could stop worrying about me getting a truck and coming up here and shooting people.
Well, thank you.
You're
welcome.
We're
not in favor of that in the District of Columbia. But I see that we have Taboo on line one,
who's
somebody that calls in regularly and is an old friend, so I can count on him not to beat me up. Taboo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, happy
okay,
New
great.
Year.
Well, thank you, and happy new to all of you and your guests.
Thank you.
I was trying to, I wanted to talk with Eddie briefly, you know, starting off with the thing on sovereignty. I'd like to point out the United States is a sovereign country, and we seem to not act like that. And the other concern I had that he had, which is very, I think, very important, you know, the clean energy, clean technology.
Yeah.
Well, look at all the money that we invested in which I am very much for it, still am. But look what happened to all of our investment. China's buying up all of our factories. So what is going on there?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it's funny because I remember I worked for an incredible woman called Pat Schroeder from Denver, Colorado. And I remember when we were just starting off in solar energy. And yet we would let the Japanese and Chinese come into our, the Solar Institute. And they would be taking pictures of the technology that we were creating and go back to their countries and then take what we had already started and just improve on it. I mean, we've got to be more protective of what we create. And I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm sounding old-fashioned, but I think we need to take care of the United States, and then we can take care of everyone else. But we've got to protect what we create. And we can give it to other people, but we got to make sure that our people reap the benefits of the inventions that we do, the new ways of thinking, and then spread it across the world, but after we take care of ourselves.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think, I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say.
You were going to just disagree, right,
this,
Michael?
This is where I disagree with AK-47 Gomez. I think that more than being protectionist, we need to turn back into the economic engine we used to be. You know, we used to make stuff taboo. We don't make stuff anymore. We need to make stuff. We need to lead the world. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, and we must understand how that happened, too, because, see, we were not a Republican government, in essence. We took advantage of certain parts of our society, you know, which we still do it. We sacrifice a few for the many, and we too often overlook or don't talk about the fact that all this was done off the back of slavery. You know, how did America get so great? See, those same principles are still in place, and until we get our principles right, see, I think I heard one of you mention earlier in this show, how do we determine what's right? You see, that right. is the purpose of law, and laws have to be based on certain principles, and those principles that the country was founded upon are not being enforced in our laws.
Well, in a lot of cases, I mean, there are a lot of people that would agree with you, I think, in that regard, taboo. Karl Marx said it was our Achilles heel, that you couldn't reconcile the needs and motivations of capitalism with those of democracy. It was just impossible, you know, that there were always, Marx would have told you that there'd always be a slave class in a capitalist society because capitalism can only work when it expropriates labor. I don't know that I fully believe
in that.
But
that's not true.
But it's certainly a tendency. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not. See, I think it's unregulated capitalism that you get that. When you have regulated capitalism based on the principles that the country was founded upon, you don't have it because capitalism is the incentive for people to develop the businesses, you know, that the economy needs to flourish on. So you must regulate it, and regulation comes in because, you know, by nature, man is greedy. We are animals.
Yes.
Well,
come on, Senator Brown. You know.
No, that's absolutely right, and that's why Marx doesn't work. That's why communism doesn't work, because it starts from the principle that we're all good, and that's not true. You're right, Taboo. We're basically greedy, and we do need to be regulated. But, you know, the our behavior regulated. That's why we come into society in the first place. We wouldn't need society otherwise.
I can say, Taboo, that I agree with you, and I think we agree that you got to take care of the United States first before you can take care of the rest of the world. And if we don't take care of the people that we have in place and our ingenuity, our creativity, and the ability to realize that we can do whatever we want, we can't export that kind of knowledge. You have to be able to take care of yourself. You have to make America strong, keep it strong, and then we can be strong for everyone else. So I think that you know, I just think we need to take care of our own business, and then we'll be able to take care of other people.
And you know how we can start doing that?
How's that?
I think a good way, if we get a clear definition of treason to get our government under control, because some of what I think they're doing, it's against the country, it's against our government. So to me, that's treason.
What do you think about, I see then the whole privacy issue with what the NSA is doing must really impact how you feel, right? The fact that they're able to
we need to look at the father of the revolution. What did it all start about? Let me ask this. Who would you say the father of the revolution was?
The father of the American Revolution?
Yes. Keep in mind, the revolution started long before the Revolutionary War occurred. It was James Otis Jr. James Otis Jr. resigned from the government because of the, what were they called, the writs of assistance, those search warrants. So America was founded on the principles of the very thing, and see, what we have it all over again. The principles of privacy, you know, search warrants, that they could come in, just search a house anywhere. James Otis Jr., who was the father of the American Revolution, who incidentally said America was for black and white. You know, see, so let's get, we must get clear of what our principles are and what America really stands for. It was a new form of government, unlike it, and it was the model, and people still love it, but the problem is enough people here have not embraced it. It was starting with the pro-slavery people, you know. We think that sometimes that the first blow of the Civil War was started on the battlefields many years later after the Revolutionary War. But let's think about, remember, who was it that got beat on Capitol Hill? Charles Sumner? A congressman physically beat Charles Sumner?
Well, that's true. He did.
On the Senate floor.
Mm-hmm. No, he did. Well, thank you, Taboo. Thanks for calling in. This is a conversation that we'll have to continue. We got a few things to wrap up on the first show, but thank you for calling in. You've been our best caller over the last year.
Yes, we should give him an award.
That's
I don't know what that is.
And
yet.
Maybe we should interview you. Maybe that's a show for the upcoming year.
Just
the interview Taboo.
Well, that's how much I appreciate what you all are doing, and thank you so much. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right,
you're welcome,
thank you.
Taboo.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. I like that guy because, I can relate to him, and I think we have a lot of the same ideas. So I like Taboo a lot.
Well, can I tell you something? If you're out there listening, you have just witnessed an amazing act of nature. Like the butterfly comes out of the cocoon, the chrysalis turns into a butterfly. If you just listen to that last speech about America from Kathleen Gomez, you have seen her come out of the cocoon of the Democratic Party and become a right-wing Republican.
Hey, listen, you know what? I'm telling you, when you leave D.C., you kind of get, you know, you kind of go out in the real world. It's called the real world outside of the Beltway to see what, you know, what it's all about. I really encourage you, Senator, to come out and come to the rural areas of the state of Arizona or just the country. And there is, you know, I mean, I know I may sound like I've totally changed, but I think that I do believe after, you know, remember when the Walmarts came out and everything was made in America? Now you go to Walmart, it's really hard to find anything made in America. I don't know how we can become the leader of the world if we're weak inside and rotting inside because we don't take care of our own people. We're what? Look at education. We're not up there with the other industrial worlds. We're like at the very bottom. You know, we've got to wake up and take care of our own people because it's the only way we're going to be able to protect the world. I'm sorry. And if that is sounding like a Republican, I don't think it is. I think it's just sounding like somebody who's not within necessarily the Republican or the Democratic mold. I think it's just called common sense. Maybe that's it. I'll start a new party.
If you're a liberal and you're out there, please help me. Call in and save me.
Common Sense Party. Everybody who wants to join me in the new party, which I'm going to start, which is called Common Sense, please let me know. We can take this all the way. We can take it all the way to the White House. And then we'll give D.C. statehood, so you should support me.
You know, I thought 2 weeks here I'd be able to deprogram her. You know how they take you, you know, out of the cults? I thought when she came from Arizona for 2 weeks, I could work on her and turn her back into a liberal. But obviously I didn't. Look, this is what, all seriousness, this is what we're all about. We want to start a dialogue. We want people of different, diverging attitudes to call in. And that's what's going on between Kathleen and I. You know, Kathleen and I think Kathleen would agree with me that we are much more alike than we are different. But
yes,
we do have these differences. And out of these differences, we hope that a dialogue will emerge with people like Eddie in Ohio and Taboo in Washington that will bring people together to find solutions, because there are a lot of problems that are out there that need to be resolved. And we're going to cover some of those in the coming year. In addition to fracking, we want to talk about Obamacare and perhaps issues that are not in the mainstream, like one vote for one person, elimination of the Electoral College, legalization of marijuana, privacy versus security.
Getting rid of voter absenteeism.
Getting rid of voter absenteeism. Where the okay.
You know, all right. Listen, I was talking about the ballot. You know, I want to get rid of that. I think I have a good reasons for it.
Okay. Genetically modified organisms, of which Kathleen may be one, I'm not sure. Immigration, gun control, college loans, voter security, all these things that we talked about. And we really want you to call in, and we really want you to be part of the conversation. And I think we're really starting off on a good foot. I can tell you that Kathleen Gomez is one of the smartest people I know. She's got a big heart. The fact that I don't agree with her doesn't mean that she's wrong. That just happens to be a coincidence. We want your input. We really do. So we hope that you'll continue to listen, and we hope you'll go to our blog, which is shadowpolitics.net. And Kathleen and I have made a New Year's resolution that we're going to try to write something on the blog every week, and we want your input. Please feel free to contact us through the blog. That's shadowpolitics.net, or contact us at bbsradio.com. Or Skype us during the show on BBS Radio 2, or call in.
And you know, the thing is about Skyping, we don't see you. It's just your message comes across on what you want to talk about. And I think really what I'd like to see 2014 for our show be is the ability to people to get away from whatever is Candy Crush or Facebook for maybe just an hour. And if there's any one thing, message that we want to send out, you got to get involved. You got to get involved in your county supervisors meeting, in your home city council, in your PTA. I mean, let's face it, we need a lot of help in a lot of areas to make us back to where we were. We're the best country in the world. If you're a woman, if you're anybody, this is the best place to live. And we've got to make sure that stays that way. And we need your help. We need your help to get back involved in everything, because it impacts you. Politics impacts you. And I don't care what anyone says about politics, it's a bad business to be in. It's the business that runs your daily life. So we've got to wake up, smell the coffee, drink the coffee, and get involved.
And that's going to be our slogan for the new year, is crush Candy Crush and pay attention.
And drink the coffee. Don't just smell it.
Right. But where Kathleen is concerned, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Okay. Thank you, America. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, America. See you next Sunday. In the capital of this nation, 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.